Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 25th of February, recording at 9:34 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, the highlights on another exciting day. And first, the Asian stock markets. Following Wall Street's gains on Friday, there were more, up than down. And notable among the gainers was Japan's Nikkei, up over 414 points. That's just over 3%. Australia had a pretty good day. India rebounded a bit. Thailand was firm. Indonesia was firm. And see, the China was the notable exception. China was hit today, and actually broke beneath its lows that we had seen just before and just after the Chinese New Year. And what else in here? Government bonds, quite weak in here today, particularly the U.S. Treasuries, 30 years down over a point as I speak. Oh, I mean, I forgot the European stock markets. They were very strong. In here today, closing out with good solid gains. The FTSE index, for instance, getting back up to that 6,000 level, and once again, or I should say 5,999.5. And solid gains, though, for the European stock markets. Now, they had closed before the Wall Street drama. Wall Street had been up a bit and down a bit. And then Standard & Poor's announced that it was not downgrading the AAA rating of MBIA, that's a leading bond rating agency, and people had been quite concerned about that, and that unleashed an almighty amount of short covering, and the Dow was up about 30, 40 points before that news was announced, closed up 189, and that was 1.5%. You had slightly smaller gains from the S&P and the NASDAQ, and but bonds had been pretty well weak all day. The U.S. dollar, it's shown down on the dollar index in this after-hours trading, but the dollar was steadier in a few instances. Well, I'm looking at this right now. It's down 28 ticks against the Aussie. It's virtually unchanged against the euro. The dollar is stronger against the Swissie, but down a fraction against the pound. Pound's at 196.74. Precious metals encountered some profit-taking today, but they weren't all a hit. Platinum did close down, but well off its lows. And gold had been up in the morning and then fell. For instance, gold bullion right now is at 940 in the after-hours trading, had been up as high as 952 early in the day and then fell down to 933.45, as to say, before trading at 940 right now. A little bit of a bear raid seemed to come in there early in the afternoon. And silver was pushed down, got down to, I'm looking at May silver now, fell back below 18 to 17.99.5, but then rallied up to close up on the day and is currently at 18.265. Again, that's for the May contract. Crude oil looks weighs a little firmer in here today, actually, 99.24. And natural gas is a little firmer in here today as well, although well off the highs that we had seen earlier on. The industrial metals mixed, soft commodities, sorry, I'm losing my voice here, for some unknown reason. The soft commodities are mostly firm. I think they're all firm in here today. And if there's an exception, well, it's lumber, which had the big rebound on Friday but gave up $2 in here today. I'm just going to pause for a moment and take a drink. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, in stock markets, it will not have escaped you that an almighty struggle between the bulls and the bears is taking place. That's the type of to-ing and fro-ing, whipsaw, choppy action that we expect at tops and bottoms. This is certainly not a top. We saw that kind of ranging, churning really from July through October, and the bears won that battle. And now we're seeing this continued choppy ranging activity at a potential bottom area. Now, it should also be pointed out that some stock markets, not least resources, well, really led by resources, stock markets, and resources prices, have been absolutely rampant in here. And if I exaggerate in terms of some of the stock markets, nevertheless, we've seen Brazil get back close to its all-time highs. Indonesia's close to its all-time highs. These are top resources producers here. Australia hasn't seen that kind of gain. It was up today, incidentally, quite a reasonable gain today. But if you look at the resources sector of Australia, it's very firm. As are Canada's resources. So, there's no bear market taking place in that sector. Actually, also, we should mention the European banks were quite firm in here today on stories that another Middle Eastern SWF, that sovereign wealth fund, of course, was interested in buying them. Now, what about that Standard and Poor's announcement? Well, no doubt people will come out and say that they were under considerable political pressure not to lower the rating, and that's probably correct. But I'm more concerned with how all of these different factors wash out in terms of the markets. And what we can say is, since the 22nd of January, is that the bears have not had it their way entirely by any means, and as a matter of fact have been rebuffed fairly sharply on a number of occasions. But the net result, when you look at the European stock market indices, we do have some higher lows. That's also the case on many other indices around the world. Few of them have higher highs, but most of the European indices and the US indices, they have those upper resistance levels that were reached after the initial rally in January that carried into early February, and they do need to break up out of those patterns to provide further evidence that the lows on the 22nd of January are sustainable. I'll give that hypothesis the benefit of the doubt because of the climactic selling action that we saw at that time and some other quite bullish indicators, such as insider buying in the US, the first time since 1995, and also the very, very heavy short interest figure, high short interest figure, that is, that had been reported. So, I think, though, from a practical standpoint, in terms of many of these markets, we should expect this ranging to go on for quite so long, or for quite some time, rather. We should expect more ranging. I've often mentioned that given the uncertainty over the credit crunch news, given the much of the bearish talk that we have heard, that this was going to prey on people's minds for quite some time, necessitating a long convalescence. And with some of the closures that we've seen on an almost daily basis, that's hardly surprising. And if that seems all bad on the other side of the equation, you know that the US government's throwing everything in its considerable arsenal to underpin these stock markets, to underpin the economy. And I wouldn't undermine, oh, I beg your pardon, I wouldn't underestimate their chances of success in that effort. As far as the fuller money themes are concerned, they're of course led by resources, Asian emerging markets, global infrastructure development. They remain in fine fettle in here and are largely untouched by this situation overall. What about developments in China? Well, we know first that China wanted to let some air out of its stock market bubble, and that goes right back to considerably earlier in the year, and they have done so with a fair degree of success without creating collapsing markets or any form of panic. Now, that is bringing down valuations, and that's a good thing overall. My short to medium term view is that China will also be quite happy to see a push for growth once again. And China has been tightening because of some of the, because of the overheating in certain areas, because of the inflationary pressures that it was seeing in the economy, coming primarily from foods. But that given the slowdown in the USA, the slowdown in Europe, that China will want to encourage a little more growth before too long. So that would be a medium-term forecast that China will shift its emphasis somewhat back towards growth. A longer-term view of mine is that all the liquidity that's been created and thrown into the system to offset deflationary pressures from the housing meltdown in the USA and the consumer spending slowdown that we're seeing there, that and knock-on effects in a number of other countries, not least in Europe, that extra liquidity would fuel some pretty big bubbles. And I think you'll see, I think fuller money themes will be well represented in those bubbles. And that's a bull point, incidentally, provided we get out when the bubbles are beginning to look ridiculous. So I'm reasonably optimistic on that score. But for a lot of markets and for what's the time frame on that? I said long term. I think you and I first, something I've often said is, particularly at seminars, is that we can only deal with the reality that markets provide. Now, we're in a convalescence stage here. We have deflationary pressures, we have inflationary pressures, we've got the credit problems. So one really ought to be thinking in terms of a long convalescence here. If we get a quicker recovery, well, that's a bonus. And that has happened again with the fuller money themes. But if they stall, if the rallies stall out, if it takes India a long time in sideways ranging activity before we get another powerful upward trend, or ditto China, don't be too surprised. That doesn't mean I'm changing my mind on these. They remain my favorite markets for the very long term. And I've often called China and India the king and queen of emerging markets. The long-term potential is absolutely outstanding, but markets have always digested some of their better gains from time to time, and that's what's happening. If they weaken, then they move back into buying ranges, and I think that has happened with Chinese type investments, as I've said before, that they have come back into areas that make them look a whole lot more interesting. India is off its highs, but we really that we had that rather brief window in the plunge down to the 22nd of January, and then it rebounded very, very strongly. Ditto the resources. But I'm very happy to hold on to these long-term positions because the long-term potential way, way outweighs the risk in my opinion. Okay, elsewhere, what about long-dated government bonds? I have short positions there. I wanted to increase those short positions somewhat, but I was dangling out some offers that haven't been met recently. The bond market that's the most vulnerable, I feel, is that of the U.S. But I have said all along that as confidence returned in stock markets, that would be a gradual process, that we would see confidence fade in those long-dated government bond markets, and that certainly looks to be the case. I also had said that on the 22nd of January, when we saw that selling climax in stock markets, we also saw a buying climax in long-dated government bonds. Okay, what about the U.S. dollar? Well, it's hard for me to envisage any kind of major rally. The bonds are weak because people, particularly some of these foreign governments with huge trade surpluses, hold too many of them. They're keen to diversify away from overdependence on U.S. government bonds and overdependence on the U.S. dollar. The U.S. dollar does not have a competitive interest rate, and everybody knows that the U.S. is going to go on printing like stink. So that is hardly a recipe for a sustained rally in the U.S. dollar, and I'm not forecasting any kind of sustained rally in the U.S. dollar. What we do have is a dollar that is range trading against some currencies, against a good number of currencies, but it has also begun to weaken once again against a smaller group of currencies, such as the Australian dollar. And I think really it's going to be the Asian currencies and the resources currencies, South African rand excepted, that will lead the way against the U.S. dollar. That's a good story still for precious metals generally, but I have said that we are in a mature stage of this cycle for this medium-term cycle for the precious metals. Now, with a little bit of luck from a bullish perspective, if you're long, with a little bit of luck, we get upward acceleration in the price activity. We've certainly seen that with platinum, and we haven't seen that much acceleration with gold and silver, although they've been very firm, and palladium has had a very good run here as well. But if you remember back in that move in 2006, going up to those highs in May, we saw a major acceleration, and I think that will we get that this time? Well, I think it's at least a 50-50 possibility. Meanwhile, more importantly, we do not want to see the higher reaction lows, the sequence of higher reaction lows that are best seen on the weekly charts. We do not want to see those broken. And that would be really quite worrying here. So although a mature stage of the precious metal cycle, it is still playable because where these trends are consistent, they are quite likely still in motion. In other words, have yet to peak. And the foods. Well, I thought we were going to see a bigger consolidation in the food prices, but it has not. That has not been the case. I don't have an extensive representation there. I've had a little bit of representation in the form of corn. But if you're long these, and I know a number of subscribers do have quite a few positions in the foods, then it's really trailing stop territory. This type of action. And as long as these continue to perform, well, why not ride the moves? But this is a time to place the emphasis on money control rather than stories about huge shortages and half the world starving to death. Not my story, but, you know, we're getting a lot of promotion in what is a crowded trade, as I've said before. In terms of the energy complex, technical action is basically bullish. Oil got back up to $100 a bit more quickly than I expected it to. That is understandably a bit of a resistance level, but I have certainly felt for a very long time that that level would be taken out and on a sustained basis, and that we will see higher levels overall. These are all of these resources are in major bull markets. Now, in the industrial metals, I didn't mention there's a little bit of profit taking in here today, but not that much. Copper's a little overextended. Arguably, aluminium's a wee bit overextended in the short term, but I'm convinced that these are all on their way back up. And, well, some of them are right back up near their highs, including copper. I expect copper to break to a new all-time high this year. And that's pretty much it. So, another exciting day. Hope you're enjoying it. Hope you're profiting from it. Meanwhile, all the very best.